All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. When you hear that tune, you always look out for my special guest every Wednesday, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing? You probably had a late night.
Yeah, actually, I didn't because I'm exhausted, but I was woke up in the middle of the night to find results that I didn't know yet when I fell asleep. So I'm just relieved the school funding referendum from Milwaukee Public Schools passed. That there was at least $1 million+ spent with all the dark money against it by business interests and right-wing billionaires.
So, I mean, a lot of stuff to talk about, but I want to begin by, I just had a conversation. I've been talking with people of color across the nation about their thoughts about the election, about Democrats, about where blacks' roles are in the elections. And many, Dr. Craig, believe that, you know, we are being taken for granted once again by Democrats, and that the condition of blacks in the nation has not improved greatly. Still 17% of blacks live in poverty, the most impoverished of all the people of this nation. The fact that, you know, when the conversations are being had about who we should be talking to and trying to come over and make sure they vote Democrat, people aren't, in many instances, are taken for granted. Once again, the black people who have been voting for Democrats to the tune of 88%. There's a younger segment of the black population that's not buying into that, Dr. Craig, that it's frightening when you look at 13% of the population being black, 18% of it being Latino. And if we don't connect and make the connections with those two groups, it's safe to say they make the determination on who the president of the United States is going to be, because whites are divided down the middle. And so I was talking about the conditions right before you came on, and I was saying to a guy from Chicago called me and challenged, you know, me. I said, you know, 70%, 30% of black males, Dr. Craig, are still unemployed in this nation. People may not believe that, but it's factual. And he asked me, what is the government's role in that? Is there anything the government, why are we blaming the government for that? And Dr. Craig, you know, part of it is we are facing a rollback of things. There's an assault on diversity, equity, and inclusion. There's an assault on affirmative action. And people act like those things don't have any impact or don't matter because people aren't talking about it, Dr. Craig. Inside of our communities, we are. And my fear, Dr. Craig, is that blacks are going to be overlooked and just taken for granted again. And there's, you know, my parents are no longer alive, who made sure they always voted Democrat, Dr. Craig, and who always came out and voted. Those people and that generation are gone. There's a much younger generation that doesn't see that same connection, and I'm just trying to sound an alarm.
I think you're right to sound an alarm, Earl, so I'm glad you're doing that. That's fantastic. Good, very good use of your big microphone here. I would just say that I want to simplify this, because I could list all sorts of scholarship and research and all sorts of other things. I'm going to say a couple things that try to land, you know, what this is and why this is. And, you know, it's not New World. It occurs to me that Frederick Douglass went through this after the Civil War, when the Republican Party, which was the abolitionist party, very different party, the segregationists of the South were in the Democratic Party in that era. There was a switch in the 30s through the 60s. He had the same problem where he was remaining loyal to the Republicans as they abandoned Reconstruction and rights for African Americans because he saw no alternative, but the younger generation was outraged and turning away from participation, which of course he saw as guaranteeing their marginality. But it was a dilemma for him, right? He knew they weren't doing what they should do, but he thought it was the only path. And I think that generation divide is happening now. As far as the caller, I heard the caller, and good question. Okay, all questions are legitimate here on the Earl Ingram Show. And so why is Earl blaming the government? Because if you look at not only the research, but just if you don't think African-Americans are inferior, and I'll just point out that the research is overwhelming, that we are biologically very much the same species with very little variation, that skin color is much less of a difference than people think.
You mean the blood is the same?
Where Homo sapiens have far less variety than the average squirrel species because we're a fairly young species, okay? So we're very much the same humans with the same capacity, but you have persistent, massive gaps in wealth, income, housing, health outcomes, and they're enormous. And you trace it back, it was directly to government policy. The government policy has ongoing implications. So you can say there isn't redlining anymore, but huge numbers of African Americans live in redline districts. Redlines were created by government. And then whites got the advantage of all the New Deal programs to make homeowners and ownership possible, which has been the major wealth generator intergenerationally for whites, why a lot of families are comfortable that are white. Blacks were denied that because they were put in areas of considered of low value, and therefore the houses, even if you could buy them, didn't appreciate. They didn't have real mortgages. The implications continue. So you can't stop doing something and not solve the actual repercussions of it and then say, hey, we did our part and Black Americans should stop complaining. Now, here's where the nuance comes in. President Biden has tried harder than any president since Lyndon Johnson to do something about
That's true.
Tax credit, which he wanted to continue, and that Joe Manchin prevented from continuing, reduced poverty by 45%, and it helped everyone, including a lot of low-income whites, but especially helped African-Americans because they're lower income. His huge investments in climate, they are opening up a whole new green economy for African-Americans. That is our major work in Milwaukee at the organization I lead, CIS National Wisconsin, because there are huge benefits. It's not understood by people because of all the misinformation out there and because it's freaking complicated. And so there's a case to be made to young voters, young African-American voters, for Biden, because there was the famous barbershop interviews by the New York Times after the 2016 elections, where famous barbershops in Milwaukee, people said, you know, it was exciting to get elected the first African-American president, but nothing changed. And now I've kind of had it. And so I'm not voting. That's a rational choice. But we need to show them that this is actually a president, if reelected, who wants to create more opportunity for them. The student loan forgiveness, which the U.S. Supreme Court overrode, and he's doing in a smaller degree as he can, that wasn't his fault. And that had a massive impact, particularly on low-income people, because the worst impacted are African-American people with massive college debt, where they don't have a job that can pay back the debt.
So, Dr. Craig, I agree with you totally. I guess the message I'm trying to get out is, yes, Joe Biden and what he's attempted to do will have a positive impact. But in the city of Milwaukee, the largest city in the state of Wisconsin, we're almost, the National Democratic Party understands it, because they're going to be in Milwaukee. They're going to be addressing those issues. But I don't know so much if the state Democratic Party or people from the state of Wisconsin understand that, and that maybe because if there's some attention paid to what's happening in Milwaukee, that it threatens people from outside in the state.
I think that, and you have to understand that the party, that the issues of the party are not controlled by the party chair. It's not Ben Wick. He runs the campaign operation. He's a progressive man, actually. But it's to Governor Evers, and Governor Evers doesn't explain these things. He has the biggest bully pulpit in the state, And in fact, he goes around doing ribbon cuttings for things that were made possible by money from President Biden and doesn't mention President Biden. And that's a political trend all over the state. It's not a country. It's not only Evers, but, you know, he has a responsibility to explain how dramatic the change has been with this administration, how it helps everyone, especially those who are locked out of opportunity. I have hope that Chevy Johnson and also our county executive, David Crawley, are very effective, talented communicators, will work on this. Chevy Johnson, the mayor, is a very strong supporter of the Milwaukee Climate Equity Plan that we worked on for 4 years and was passed last year. And so I'm hoping there are more opportunities for him to use his communication skills. We're in communication. We're good friends with some of the key people in his administration about that. But I think we need to land this, because if democracy is going to mean anything, people need to understand what they could possibly get, what people have done, what they haven't done. Like Gaza war is a different story, right? Right now, Biden has not moved enough, and a lot of young people in general, but also young people of color, are appalled by that. But what he's done in turn, tried to do, and what he will do, he'll do paid family medical leave if he has a legislature that would pass it. He'll do universal pre-K and early childhood education. These are massive things. And he'll restore the child tax credit and dramatically reduce poverty. And he'll cancel a whole lot of student loan debt if he can use the legislature, the Congress, and the Senate to do it. Now, we're going to need Democrats to have the guts to overcome the filibuster, because the filibuster is blocked a lot of Biden's agenda.
So my purpose for bringing this up is an alarm that I think, you know, needs to be sounded before we get too far down the road. 844-967-2789 is the number. I will come to the phones. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Wednesday with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, talking about, you know, I think, and something that I'm concerned about when it comes to this presidential election and the taking for granted. Not what I'm saying, but what I'm hearing from different people of color across the nation. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Luann Bird from Hell's Corners. Good morning to you, Luann. How you doing? Long time no hear from.
Good morning. Well, I'm, first of all, want to say thank you to Milwaukee. I mean, the city will never be any better than its schools. And it just, to support our kiddos like that was just wonderful news for all of us in the area. I'm so proud of you guys, and I'm proud of what happened in the message. I think you said it right. You know, you have to sound the alarm, and I'm calling because we had an anti-LGBTQ plus group, anti-public education group, the 1776ers, come in and endorse two candidates in our recent race here. But we had organized last September after a policy to ban pronouns was introduced in our local school board. So I called people together. We organized, and we've been working since last September to make sure that our school board, that this outside influence didn't come here, right here at the Whitnall School District. So as far as young people go, our group consisted of about, you know, 10 to 12 people of all ages, mostly parents, who had never seen this kind of activism before. And it was so exciting for me last night to see the young people realize that this outrageous far-right stuff is not who we are. And the fact that we were able to keep one incumbent and get another woman elected over all the money that was put into the other races from the outside groups and from Republican county, even the Waukesha County Party had to pay for an ad against, you know, for their candidates in the Milwaukee County. Like, it was just crazy, the money coming in. And we had no money, just so you know.
Hey.
The Whitnall Residential Engagement Network had no money.
Hey.
We just made sure that we got the word out.
Hey, Luann Bird, thank you very much for the call.
Yes.
Congratulations. That's,
you're welcome.
You know, that's Thanks. What Dr. Craig stands for, and I know he's elated to hear that. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. It was last night's vote was a really big step towards we the people. A good sign. I'm excited for the future. But I wanted to talk about the differences between the parties and you know, your point, Earl, about the African-American community feeling slighted. And I kind of see that, too, for sure. But make no difference. You know, the stark differences between the parties. Let me remind our listeners that we have a black woman as a vice president of the United States, first time ever. We have a black chairman of the Joint Chiefs. We have a black UN ambassador. We have many key roles have been appointed and offered by Biden into the minority community. So I think that's a big positive sign, and I hope
So Mike, let me interrupt you for a second. So that is, you know, that's great. You know, Barack Obama was the first black president, but the outcomes for people of color, for the most part, did not change. And so when I talk to younger blacks who are of voting age, the symbolism of those people being in those positions does not change their outlook and their realities. And so what it does amount to is that clearly, Dr. Craig pointed it out, we can point to a lot of different policies under Joe Biden that benefited not only whites but blacks as well. And so they've got to do a better job of explaining those things, Dr. Craig, because, again, there's a segment of the young black population that is not buying that, and they're unwilling to vote, and some are even, you know, picking up the crumbs that the Republicans are promising them. And that's my fear, and that's what we have to be cognizant of, because they're, you know, the younger, the black population is younger than it is older now, you know, and so that's our concern. But go ahead quickly.
If I could, please. You know, we as a nation, for example, put out affirmative action as a way of healing, you know, through the Jim Crow era, and a way, you know, of setting a stake in the ground and going forward. And unfortunately, again, one side, one particular side, one party who does not believe in people power at all, came in and made a big stink about affirmative action and got it removed when it was a positive. It was a remedy for many of the thefts and other, you know, things that happened to the black community for all these years. That's one party that did it.
Right.
The Democrats are the only ones that are fighting tooth and nail. And I understand, you know,
you don't have to convince me, Mike. I agree with you. I'm trying to convince a younger population that matters.
What is clear is the right wingers don't support people power.
I agree.
They want centralized power. And from there, is where all these, you know, the problems of the day originate from. So I wanted
thank you. And we'll give Dr. Craig a chance to respond to that. And all of you on the phone lines, I promise you, we'll get you in as well. 844-967-2400. 2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is my guest.
You would tell me so. Don't leave me hanging on the promises. You've got to let me know.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. And Dr. Craig, before we go back to the phone lines, it was Mike from Kenosha who had some things to say. You want to respond to Mike?
Can you remind me after the break?
Yeah.
Well, so what, you took away.
So basically, Mike was saying that Democrats and Joe Biden have done all of these things for the black community, and it is, in fact, Republicans who are attempting to, you know, undo all of these things. And basically to remind blacks, he didn't mean it in a negative sense, Mike's a good guy, that these things are happening. It have happened, and they've happened because of Democrats. I'm not unmindful of that. But, Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
I think young people are right that you have to hold your allies accountable for outcomes. And, you know, affirmative action was inadequate, and then it wasn't fully executed, as Mike pointed out, because of opposition. But it's no longer when you're looking at a life ahead of you with little opportunity for yourself, your family, your loved ones, adequate to say, well, we tried to do this for you and it was blocked by this Joe Manchin guy, or it was blocked by this Mitch McConnell guy. You got to get it done. But we also need to make clear what Biden is trying to get done, because that's not understood. So, for example, I'll throw in one other example. This is a radical thing. I mean, in a good way, radically good. That is that all the climate investments, which are historic, that President Biden has done, and infrastructure investments, are covered by an executive order called Justice 40 that says 40% of the resources will go to low-income marginalized communities. A lot of the problem has been Republican policies actually make the division worse, and too many Democrat policies don't. And I've been critical of Governor Evers. He's been willing to do tax policy that doesn't help the least advantage. And you can't do that. You're just growing the income gap. I understand it's nice politics, and you can say you got a bipartisan deal, but it's not adequate. So not all Democrats are strong enough, and they need to start delivering. I think this president wants to. They don't know what he's trying to do, but then we have to actually get around the filibuster. We need a permanent child tax credit, which is a lot bigger than people realize. It cut poverty by over 40%. It was the biggest change since the New Deal in terms of income for working class people.
Let's go to Vincent from Lenoan. Lenoan, good morning to you, Vincent. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl, and to your guest. My point today is why I'm upset with the state Democratic Party, especially when it comes to dispensing information about elections, especially in the African American and Hispanic community. And my point is about the two referendums, the state referendums that were sponsored by the Republican legislature, basically to erode local control of the elections. And the fact that both of them passed. And my point is that there was no, the fact is there were no, there wasn't any information dispensed to the community. There was no, there wasn't any commercials out about it, about, hey, what you should vote for and not vote for. It just like, they're just not there. And then when things like this pass, which is going to have a huge effects on elections that are coming up in the future, then they kind of throw up their hands. The point is, I think the information part that frustrates me most about the Democratic Party in this state, and also Democratic legislatures. Lena Taylor's not there anymore. She used to be the sounding board for everything that came out of the state, and now the ones that are up there now, they're basically silent. They don't say anything. All this stuff is coming down from the state, and the people just don't know what's going on. So the fact is now we're stuck with these with this one bill, and now they're talking about trying to change the Constitution for the other referendum. So where's the information coming from? How are people going to get the information in order to make a cogent vote?
Thank you very much for the call, Vincent. Dr. Craig?
Great comments, Vincent. I think the Democratic Party did make a decision that to let those amendments pass because they're saving their money to try to win the presidential election and the U.S. Senate race and state assembly races. That's the legislative body which could switch hands. Senate would take more than one cycle given which seats are up. And he's right, I think, to call him out for it. Of course, it's a tough choice because you need enough money in order to actually not have bad consequences. But I think that Democrats, here's how I would put it, now have an obligation to make darn sure that local elections and elections generally are adequately funded. Because if you let the Republicans cut off this ridiculous workaround that you have to go to private philanthropy to fund what could be a more core function of our society than funding people's ability to exercise the franchise, right? It's unbelievable. And now it can't be done through grants. Grants never should have been required. Now Governor Evers needs to not sign the next budget until he gets adequate election funding. And we need to, if we get back the assembly, have bills that do that. This Constitution would be fine if it said, and the legislature is required to fund elections so that everyone has a right to vote. You need a criterion, something like no one should be any more than X away from a polling place, and it shouldn't take any more than X minutes to vote, right? And of course, all the other elements of voting that make it easier, such as absentee, drop boxes, curbside pickup, etc. So now that the Democrats have kind of let that pass, and it looked like the first one was pretty close, then they have an obligation to make darn sure elections are funded if they're true to their word that they believe in democracy and they're the party of democracy.
Let's go to Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what? Karina?
To get a job. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
You see, to get a job, back to the unemployment you were talking about, to get a job, you have to at least have a high school diploma. MPS is ridiculous in the level of education because there is a lot missing and a lot needs to be done to make to give those children who will become an adult an ability, an opportunity to go next step to their professional work or job, or even know what you're good at. Then we're talking about in Wisconsin, commercialized jails, where in the matter of 30 years or more, we are streaming a black population into jails, where there is no rehabilitation whatsoever. So what are you expecting to have when you have so many comparison on top of everything that say, oh, we have a Mexican immigrants coming in and they working hard and they living together and they got, look, those people were born here. They have all this by the birthright. It doesn't matter. They were already born in this country. So they have by birthright, they have a same a level of everybody else's education, healthcare, opportunities. And not being afraid that you're going to stop on the streets and for no good reason end up having some sort of charges which will prevent you in the future to go anywhere. Yet our former president can be a president with 90 criminal charges.
Hey, Karina, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Karina?
She makes a great point, and I'm glad she brought up mass incarceration since we're having a dialogue with your caller of the last hour at the end. And that is a huge driver. We have the largest amount of people imprisoned in world history and globally. It's unbelievable. And it is absolutely wreaked havoc. Yeah, among young African Americans. Governor Evers promised a whole bunch of faith-based folks connected with wisdom that he agreed with them he'd cut mass incarceration in half and has taken no steps on it, including ones that within his power. So Republicans need to get serious about that because Minnesota has half the number of people incarcerated and does not have high, and it is not leading to higher crime rates. Okay. We know now that there's probably some inevitable policing role for the foreseeable future. We're not ready quite for what young activists call abolition, but it's not the thing that makes us safer in many ways. We need a more balanced system. A lot of the responses police are making are they're not qualified to make. Their mental health, their homeless issues. We should have alternative responders like other cities have. That's not moving right now. But we need to take down that system because it's not making us safer. It's extremely expensive and it's destroying lives and ripping families apart. And so that's another element of why there's inequality, because as Michelle Alexander said in her wonderful book, The New Jim Crow, it creates a new caste, a lower caste of second-class citizens. Once you're incarcerated, they can discriminate against you once you're released. And in fact, the other group is people who are undocumented. And there's scary polling out this week, Earl, that 85% of Republicans want to ship everyone back in this country that is not here legally. That's 8 million people. Can you imagine not only the economic chaos, but just the damage to lives and to children and the splitting up of families, because often there's one undocumented person living in a family of a number of kids who are here legally, and then their dad is carted away and taken away, and he's a hardworking member of the community. This is a common story. So it is possibly scary how Trump and the Republicans are vilifying another group, that is people who are undocumented.
So what did Donald Trump say? Mass deportation. As deportation. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hello. One thing I'd say is I think Governor Evers needs to do what he needs to do to help himself and his party politically. So while I have a great sympathy for what Dr. Craig is saying, my main concern is that we maintain the seats, positions that we have in government right now, and that people need to act somewhat politically rather than idealistically in the decisions they make. Second is, and I'm off subject a bit, maybe you'd rather not.
No, go ahead.
But concerning the referenda yesterday, it's just that so many people I know, I find very few people who know the history behind that. You know, and you've spoken about it, the fact that the Republican legislature tried to pass a law to do this for these two a law related to the elections, and Governor Evo vetoed it. So right away they turned into a referenda. Well, when we had referenda about fair maps and stuff, Republicans were against referenda. So now they seem to favor it. People don't know that those were written by Will, and what Will is Law and Liberty Association of Ultra Conservative Lawyers in Madison, and just pop in a referendum. But the biggest, they're concerned about election violation, the biggest election violation that they had. I mean, how many votes were influenced by gerrymandering in this state? And they went for 12 or 13 years running a gerrymandered state without flushing at all. And now they
Hey, Jack, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. All of you, hang on the phones. I promise you we'll get to you. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I would just like to say but I agree 100% with Vincent about where was the messaging. And yeah, I heard that they were saying that, you know, we're focusing on the president and the Senate and all that stuff. It doesn't take much. How many Democratic people or leaders can't stamp up to the plate and say, hey, this is what's going on? It doesn't have to always rely on the top people. I mean, this I also blame the media for this. You guys talked about it. I saw articles in the Journal Sentinel about it. But you know darn well that the other AM talk people were not saying anything, or if they were, they were twisting it around to make it sound good for their people.
That's correct.
I really think you guys are stepping up to the plate and making it happen. But even like school boards, when I voted yesterday, I saw school board people, and I'm like, you know, I never looked at the school boards. We really need to stand up, because I'm thinking to myself, am I voting for a Moms for Liberty candidate? You know, if you don't know who they are, and that's really where it all starts, is at the school board level. And if we don't know who we're voting for, what are we doing?
Hey, Tom, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Niall. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to quickly comment about the Democratic Party and the black vote. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I was listening to a podcast from black conservatives. And from the information that I heard is that Trump really wanted to pursue a get out the vote agenda for black voters, but it was the Republican establishment that discouraged him from doing so, and in 2020. Now, for 2024 election, he has decided to change tactics. What he wants to do, he does not, he's more concerned with legacy. He does not want his legacy to be the January 6th insurrection. What he wants is to be able to go down in the history books as someone who won over a historic black vote. And so I don't know how successful he will be, but he's hungry. And just think about how he has positioned people in the RNC. His daughter-in-law is calling the shots, not the regular establishment. That's all I have.
Well, you know, Cassandra, before you go, I'm just trying to alert people that there are younger blacks who are hearing his message and hearing Republican message. And that's true, whether or not it's resonating or not with enough to make a difference. You know, I don't know, and I hope not. But, yeah, they're making an effort. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, I think that they're trying to pull off a few percent, which is enough to flip Wisconsin and Michigan and North Carolina. There are no policies that he's putting forward that will benefit people. There's certainly hatred. I mean, there has been very little division between the African American and the Latino community, and there could be. There is in some places like Chicago and local politics. So we can foment that and get some black folks saying, oh, it's the immigrants who are taking the jobs. But you don't. They won't have a platform. Remember, under Trump, the Republican Party won't have a platform. Okay, it's whatever Donald Trump decides in the middle of the night on Truth Social he's going to do. So I mean, he can get an historic vote, but it's not in order to actually improve the lives of average people. One thing I want to say about the caller before the break, Earl,
yes,
who said that Governor Evers should continue doing what he's doing realistically to maintain, you know, the Democratic position. I know the question is asked in good faith. You should not assume that they know what that is, number one. Democratic legislature is furious at him right now. Every member for basically compromising with himself on the maps and making it harder for Democrats to be able to compete in the legislative races and to take back the Senate. And often all candidates, including this governor, think about their own reelection and not the president, not legislators, not any mayors, anyone else. So you should not, I agree that you need to make pragmatic decisions. But there are a lot of popular things the governor's leaving on the table because he doesn't want to do them or he doesn't have the imagination to do them. The biggest financial concern people have about inflation is healthcare costs. Where is Governor Evers' big agenda on healthcare costs? A big Democratic issue. We're pushing him on it, but he's pretty much AWOL. That's not because he's being pragmatic. It's because he doesn't want to take on the hospital industry, the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, because he doesn't believe in that kind of division. You can't guarantee affordable health care without taking those folks on.
It's popular
to do so, Earl.
You know, Dr. Craig, you bring that up, and all I can think about is magic here.
Mm-hmm.
And why we're not even having that discussion while we've got a Democrat in office is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I agree. So it's our job in a democracy to push our side. So it's not to say Governor Evers is terrible, has done nothing good. He needs to have positive pressure to do the right thing. Biden does too. Biden is feeling the pressure on Gaza now.
Right.
We had over 40,000 people vote uninstructed. I'm one of those people. Not because I would vote for let Trump win the general election, because I want the president to know that right now we are providing the weapons that are being used to commit war crimes, whether it meets the international effort of genocide or not. And what just happened with the aid caravan is just one of many of these. They're shooting everything that moves,
right?
And we cannot be supporting that. So I think that he needs to move on that.
Hey, Dr. Craig, thank you. Time flies, as always. We'll see you again next Wednesday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank all of you, the callers, all of you, the listeners. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Madner and Chris Bach. Madner on air. See you later.